Have you ever wondered how banks make money? That's what we're going to talk about in episode number 76 of the Atlas Annuity Podcast. Hi, everyone. This is Marty Becker, owner and founder of Atlas Financial Strategies in St. Louis, Missouri, where we specialize in safe money retirement strategies. I wanted to talk about the subject for a while because I want the Atlas Annuity Podcast to become an all-encompassing financial education platform, with the focus really always being on annuities and protection for your retirement income. But sometimes I hear certain things like, I don't want an annuity because the insurance company is just going to take my money and then go make a lot more money when I should just manage it myself. And the first thing that pops in my head when I hear something like that is, do you have a bank account? And of course, the answer is yes. And the next question is, do you have any idea how banks make money? And I could almost with great certainty say, no, you don't. So this is going to be a very high level discussion because the banking institutions are so complex and so convoluted that I don't even think most bankers understand it. So that's why we're going to keep it pretty high level today. And honestly, I think if most people understood how the banks work, they wouldn't even be able to exist because there would be a complete uprising in this country because we wouldn't allow it anymore. So let's go back to the 1980s when interest rates were pretty high and bank CDs were paying around 9%. But in order for you to borrow money, you were paying about 15%. I'm sure a lot of you remember this when you were trying to get a home loan, you were paying 13%, 14%, even sometimes 18% for a home loan. So the way it worked is you went to a bank, you put $100 into a CD or maybe a high yield savings account, something like that. And then in turn, the bank promised you $9 for every $100 that you deposited. But what they would do is they would turn around and loan that money back out and they would make $15. So in essence, they spent $9 to make $6. Now, on the surface, looking at this, you're thinking, okay, they made a 6% profit. What's wrong with that? And the answer is nothing. But a quick look makes you think they profited 6% when actually it was just a 6% spread. So here's how you need to look at any type of lending institution and interest rates. Think of it as like you own a hardware store. And if you bought a hammer for $9 from the supplier and then turned around and sold it to one of your customers for $15, that's not a 6% profit. That's a 67% profit. And how much does the bank have in this deal of their own money? Zero. $0 of their own money in this. And you may be asking, why don't they just use their own money? Because, and again, in your head, you're thinking that would be a 15% profit, and that's still pretty good. But that's the thing. It's pretty good, but not as good as if they could take your money and make a 67% profit. Now, in the late 80s, we had the savings and loans crisis where there was a bank in Texas that went under, and there wasn't even enough in the FDIC to cover the losses for the clients of just that one bank in Texas. And most people think banks are really safe because of the FDIC. But at the end of the day, what is the FDIC? It's us. It's the taxpayers providing that bailout. And at the time, the guarantee on banking accounts was $100,000. And then they raised it to $250,000. What did that do? Nothing. Because what does that mean? It just means it falls more on the backs of the taxpayers to provide the money into the FDIC for these bailouts. So then into the early 1990s, Alan Greenspan, who was the chairman of the Fed, said, you know what the problem is? Rates are too high. That must be the problem. So we need to lower rates so we can get more money out into the marketplace. So almost overnight, you saw interest rates on like things like CDs drop from 9% to 3%. And the problem was, if you were trying to live off the interest of a bank CD, your whole world was basically destroyed overnight when they dropped those interest rates. So you could go to a bank, you could get a CD for about 3%, but the bankers were still loaning money for around 9% at that point. On the surface, you may be thinking, hey, okay, that's still a 6% spread. But look what happened to the profit margin. If they're basically buying your money for $3, they're not really buying it, they're just using your money and giving you $3, and then turned around and loaning it out for a $9 profit, yes, the spread is 6%, but the profit margin is 200%. So this went on for years and years, and you have to ask yourself, leading up to the 2008 banking crisis, how does an institution go broke making a 200% profit? Okay, so there had to be massive fraud or theft or something taking place in there. And a lot of people will say, leading up to that 2008 bailout crisis, AIG, they're an annuity company, they got a bailout. And what I have to remind people is that AIG is a giant financial institution with a brokerage side to it. Okay, they were doing all kinds of weird stuff with derivatives. Their insurance branch, which is American General, they were totally fine. They were totally solvent. That's the difference between life insurance companies and life insurance companies issue annuities versus investment banks. Big difference. So you have to wonder, how did these big financial investment banks go broke making 200% profit all the time? And then they took our money as a taxpayer bailout. And then remember hearing the news stories of where the executives were getting these huge bonuses, and the money never really went back to the people, because that was the whole point of giving them the bailout. Because the taxpayers came to the rescue again, and the theory behind it was, we're going to put all this money into the economy, we're going to drop interest rates that they're charging the banks, that should free up a lot of money to loan out at a much lower interest rate to the people. I don't know if you remember how hard it was to get a loan in 2008. It was damn near impossible. And don't forget all the big bonuses in that the executives were getting at that point. But basically, here's what happened. The government issued something called TARP, Troubled Asset Relief Program. So basically, they took our tax dollars and gave it to the very people who royally screwed up the entire system to begin with. So the banks were getting the money at about 0.5%, okay? Then they were turning around and they were giving you CDs and checking accounts at about 0.5%. But what they were doing is they were also turning around and loaning money out for around 4%-ish, if you could get that loan. Now, if they're giving you 0.5% and they're making a 4% return on their loans, that's a 700% profit. Let me say that again. If the banks were giving you 0.5% on your CDs and your checking accounts, and they were turning around and using your money and the government's money to loan it out at 4%, that's a 700% profit. That is absolutely ridiculous. But here's the really astounding part of this whole institution, is banks are allowed to do something called fractional reserve banking, meaning they only have to keep a very small portion of the money on hand in case somebody wants to come in and make a withdrawal. So normally a reserve deposit percentage is going to be around 10%. What that means is that if a client comes in and deposits $100,000 into the bank or puts $100,000 into a CD, the bank only needs to keep about 10% liquidity. Meaning, so they just got $100,000, they only have to keep $10,000 on hand. So now they can turn around and go loan $90,000 to someone else. What does that person do with the $90,000? They maybe go make a purchase, or they go put it in the bank somewhere else. But let's say they make the purchase. Okay, the person they made the purchase from, they're going to put that money back in the bank. So now that second $90,000 deposit, they got to keep $10,000 in reserves. which means now that second bank can loan out $81,000 to the next guy, and so on and so on. So for every $100,000 that gets deposited into the bank, you have an additional hundreds of thousands of dollars in loans out there that are backed up by nothing. And here's the really crazy part. As of, let me get this right, March 26th of 2020, the Federal Reserve dropped the reserve requirement for banks to zero. So now they can literally loan out the entire $100,000 as they see fit, meaning all these shenanigans that originally caused the 2008 crisis, it's just okay now. They're free to go with no restrictions whatsoever. Now, most banks will keep some sort of reserve deposit in the vault there, but there is no regulation saying they have to. And if you really want to go down the rabbit hole and find out how insidious this whole banking industry really is, then I would highly recommend you read the book called The Creature from Jekyll Island. I read this book about 20 years ago, and I've never looked at the banking industry the same since then. And this is why I personally use high cash value life insurance policies for the vast storage of my personal money. It's a big book to read, but it is definitely worth it. Okay, and as always, what is my point in telling you all this? This is supposed to be an annuity podcast, not a banking podcast. Totally fine. When you're considering the safety of your money, okay, and what goes on behind the scenes in these financial institutions, life insurance companies, again, which are the institutions that issue annuities, they are not allowed to play these games. They are highly regulated, and they must have enough reserves on hand, again, unlike the FDIC, that if they had to pay a claim to every single one of their clients on the same day, they could do it. That's why we track what's called the solvency ratio in these annuity companies, because their solvency ratio determines how much money they have above their liabilities. That's how much they have in assets above their liabilities on the books, which, what are the liabilities on a balance sheet for an insurance company? It's their clients, okay? That's the money that they are obligated to pay out. And if we are looking at overall fairness, safety, and financial stability for financial products, you cannot beat annuities when it comes to fixed interest products, okay? So you decide who you want managing your money. And as always, if you're new to annuities, if you're just stumbling across the podcast, I'd like to highly recommend that you go watch my flagship video series, which is called 20% More Spendable Income in Retirement, to really help you understand what annuities can do for your retirement portfolio. Once you have a chance to watch that and get acquainted with some of the terminology and how they work, the next best step you can take is to go to atlasannuity.com and book a short Zoom call with me. That way we can get all of your questions answered, and then we can determine if an annuity is even appropriate for your specific situation. And if you want to help us out, we would certainly appreciate it. Please subscribe and like the podcast on the podcast players and the YouTube channel, and then share this information with somebody that you think could benefit from hearing it. And as always, I want to thank you for joining me. This has been episode 76 of the Atlas Annuity Podcast. My name is Marty Becker, wishing you all the best in your financial education. We'll catch you in the next episode.